Great to be here with you, Doro. And I have to tell you, for my first question, what do you have currently going on, and what's going on in the world of Doro Pesch?
Actually, I just came back to Europe. We're actually starting the tour in a couple of weeks. And, the record is coming out like 2 weeks earlier than in the States. And, I'm doing promotion, up the yin-yang. And I just did a little movie as well, the second part of the movie, Hanuk, The Path of the Warrior. And then soon we are doing the 70,000 tons of metal, which I'm so excited. I've heard a lot about it. And then we start the America tour in January, February. And I can't wait to come back on a big tour in the States. And I hope the fans will enjoy the new songs. But we will play everything from old school, from the old Warlock stuff, new stuff. So only the highlights.
Well, Doro, in my opinion, the new album in my book is probably the best album you have ever put out. In fact, I would have to say from the production, from the songs, everything that you've done with your solo band, and I'm not talking about the Warlock stuff because that's pretty classic material right there, but your new album, Raise Your Fist, I think it's a great, great record. It's a great title track, and I really dig this album, and I also dig the production a lot. I think you have upgraded in that department as well, and talk a little bit about that. What was the vibe going in to record this album for you, Doro?
The plan is always to make the best album ever. So each and every album, we always tried our best, our hardest. That's always the goal. But I think this one came out really, really great. The songs, somehow, they were stronger. And sound-wise, I always try to learn from previous stuff. And I think on the last record, the anthems and the ballads sounded great. But the heavy songs, the old-school metal-fast songs, they could have been a little bit more, fed, a little bit more balls to the wall. So I tried to find, a great tech who would mix, especially the fast and hard stuff, and I got great test mixes back. I actually couldn't even decide who I would pick, but then I went to Scandinavia, and there's a guy who's great. His name is Jacob Hansen. He's doing a lot of stuff for Volbeat, and he gave all, the powerful, the fast and heavy songs, he gave them the powerful, fat sound, so I think that definitely improved. And I think, the time is great. Metal is so big worldwide. I'm so happy to tour all over the world, which was really not possible in the 80s. It was just America, Europe, maybe South America and Japan, and now all over, from China to Russia. It's everywhere, and somehow I felt the total metal spirit. I mean, I always do, but this time, while making the record, somehow I felt, I felt this one could be the one. So, we have a new label, Nuclear Blast now. So I felt people were supporting it, and people were totally, trying their best. And it's always really a team effort too, every record, every release. And I'm really happy right now, and it feels good.
Well, the big thing to me, Doro, is the fact that when I listen to this record, and every band has that one album that comes out that there is not a single song you dislike on it, and I think this is your record. I think with your solo band, I think this new album is one of those albums that was to me a surprise, number one, and number two, there's not a track on it I dislike. In fact, I like every song on this record, and every band has that. And with all the stuff getting thrown at me, Doro, I have to tell you that because I get so many submissions, so many promos, so many press kits that more than I can count. It really says a lot for you to be able to stand out from a crowd of bands out there these days.
That makes me so happy. I mean, you have no idea when somebody said, I love it, and I hope the fans feel the same, but I think they will. I feel the same. I feel so excited. And every single song, I was like, this is the best one. And then the new song came, and I said, that's even better. So I think what you said, I think there are no fillers on this album. And I think, great anthems. I can't wait to play that stuff live. And actually, I did one time, we did actually Raise Your Fist. The Race of His is the only song we've played live, but I think that's our all we are too. It really gets great feedback. Everybody enjoys it. Everybody, sings along. And the first time I did sing it was actually in Wacken last year. And, and then I told the fans, okay, this is a brand new song. It's a demo, but I want to, play it. And then I said, show me your fists. And 60,000 people with their fist in the air, and it was like a picture I will never ever forget. And then I thought, ooh, this song definitely has potential. So, and then I thought, yeah, it will make the record. And then the title, Race of Fist, it was actually, it became, it was like the whole thought of the whole album somehow. Even like the fast songs, the ballads, everything is kind of connected to this. It's a little bit rebellious, but fight the good fight.
And the song Raise Your Fist, great example, great title track, great lead-off track to this record, because I have to tell you that, when you listen to that song, it gets you into the album, it's anthemic, it's really not anything new, but at the same time, you've managed to write a lot of great songs that really aren't groundbreaking, but at the same time, they're very unique, and they sound just absolutely awesome.
And I think, like the old school stuff, I thought, man, when we play live, old school metal always like makes the fans so happy. And I thought, I want to take some old school ideas and, give it like a fresh, more modern sound, but still, do what I can do best. I'm so happy you say that. It's like, I tell you, after working on an album for a couple of years. This one took now 2.5 years. There's nothing better when people say, I like it, I love it. It's like, then everything is worth it. And now since I'm doing it for so long, I always know that people expect something, something great, a great song, something what they can celebrate to rock out, something what's for the soul. But this one, I felt, it has all the good ingredients,
One of the things I found interesting about this album, and I was listening to one of the songs on the record, and I heard a voice that sounded really, it sounded familiar, but it didn't sound like that person singing, and that was with Lemmy. And you sing a ballad with Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead, and how did that come about? Because I'll tell you what, I didn't know it was him at first, but at the same time, I thought it was really cool.
It's so special, and I think it's so great when Lemmy sings something soulful. We had actually the great chance to work together before on my album Calling the Wild. It came out in 2000, and actually there were two duets on it. One time was the remake of Love Me Forever, the Motorhead classic, and it was a duet. And then Lemmy, he played me a song on an acoustic guitar. It was called Alone Again, and I tell you, I was so moved, and it was so touching. I thought, wow, and Lemmy is the most soulful guy and the most soulful singer. So I knew that Lemmy has like this great side, and then when I had the song, then somehow I said, I want to ask Lemmy if he wants to listen to the song, and then he said, okay, I love it, let's do it. And we did it actually in March, and I did in the afternoon the Death Metal show with Eddie Trunk, and then at night we went into the studio and Lemmy sang his vocals, and I was so happy. And oh man, every line he was singing, I was looking to our engineer Chris, and I said, isn't that great, isn't that unbelievable? He said, boah, I didn't know that Lemmy has so much soul. And I said, yeah, I had this experience before, so I think it's so special and it's so different and unique, and I'm so happy, and it's such an honor to have Lemmy singing on this album, and doing something with Lemmy. That's like, it's fantastic. And we are friends for a long, long time, toured together many times or played festivals, and he was actually the first guy I've ever met in England. He was like the first musician, and then we had like a little, like a whiskey cola, a couple of cigarettes, and I thought, wow, what a great guy. And ever since we became friends, and he means so much to me. I know the same to all the fans, like there are so many millions of Lemmy and Motorhead fans out there in the world, and
But all, when you look at all the musicians that I've played in bands with, and then I look at all the people I have on the show, the one thing about you that I think is great is the fact that you remain so positive. And I have never met a person in my entire life that's as happy and as upbeat and as positive as you are. And you're in the music business, which is very difficult and very tough. And what keeps you so positive? What keeps you going?
Yeah, well, it's my only secret. It's the fans. The fans, that's like what I, you know, what inspires me, what motivates me. And I love the fans every year a little bit more, even though, you know, in the 80s I was toned into the fans. But now somehow I feel even more grateful, and I'm so happy to be part of this family, and meeting the fans, talking to the fans, playing concerts and then seeing in somebody's eyes where you feel, man, yeah, this one really, touches this person's heart. That's what I live for, and that's why I want to wake up in the morning, the fans is the ultimate thing to me, and that's the reason why I've never been married. I dedicated my life to metal and to the fans a long time ago. When I was like 24, I made up my mind I want to do that and not start a family because the fans, that is my family and my band and my road crew. But the fans, that's to me the most important thing in the world. Uh-huh.
Well, you wrote a song about that, actually, if I recall.
Yeah, with my family. Yeah, I was actually on the Warrior Soul record. And I tell you, to be honest, every song is for the fans. They're always in the back of my mind, in my heart. So actually, every song is linked to the fans. You know, of course, they are different subjects, different stories, but somehow, I always keep the fans in mind. And, sometimes it's one single story or one person who has like a heavy, life, destiny. I think life got so much harder the last 10, 15 years. So when people tell me something, then sometimes, I think, I want to write a song, to somehow, get some, positive metal energy going and to support people. I think everybody has to fight a hard fight. So.
Well, one of the things that is great too, that I've always noticed about you, every time I do an interview with you, and I think I've had you on the show two or three times now, but every time I tell people I'm interviewing you, the amount of emails that people send me, the amount of responses I get for you and about you is insane. And a lot of them are from women aged, like 13 or 14 through, they could be 60 years old. And you're a huge inspiration for many of these people, and especially a male-dominated genre of music. And I'm sure you get this quite a bit, but you know what? You're a real inspiration to a lot of women out there. And how do you feel about that?
It's great. If somebody feels inspired or uplifted or empowered by the music, that's awesome. And I've never thought that would happen. When I started, I had my first band with 15, but I was a total metalhead, and I thought, man, I want to do it for the rest of my life, and I want to make people happy. And at the beginning, the normal people, they don't understand it. They think it's all pretty, destructive or negative. But I always knew that the fans, they know, I think it's the most positive thing, to go to a metal show or to listen to metal music. To me, that's like, that's breathing new life into everybody. So I must say I'm happy when people, get something good out of it. And, and being a girl or being a woman, I must say I was always treated really good. I always could learn from the best. And my first experiences on tour, it was with great people. They always, supported me so much. For example, Judas Priest was my first tour ever in 86, my first big tour. And then my second tour was with Ronnie James Dio, and he was the sweetest person. And I always felt tremendous support by the whole metal scene, by other bands, by other musicians. And I thought, if I ever have my support band, I want to give that back, what I learned. And, and I just love to give something. And, when especially the women and the girls feel inspired, it's so great. And I wrote a song for all the female rockers and for the female musicians on this record. It's actually on the limited edition, and it's called Strong and Proud. And it's a little AC/DC kind of style, but I think it's just great. And that's for all the women and girls. And, to just to support everybody. And when I started in the 80s, there were just a handful of women, and now I think it's great. It's a much better balance, and so many great women out there doing it, and that's awesome. So, I'm a big supporter of that. But to me, it never seemed to make a difference if I was a man or a woman. I just, I felt metal in my heart, and I know the fans, they know exactly, that's what they can, count on, and I will never ever give up. I will never want to do a goodbye tour or farewell tour. I want to do it, as long as the fans enjoy it, and always, try to do better records or better concerts. It's pretty hard after so many years, because sometimes you have a magic moment or a magic record, but I always try to do the best I can, and hopefully the fans, will get something what they will find interesting or meaningful or powerful,
Well, it's really hard to, with someone as upbeat and as positive as you, it's really difficult for me to imagine people actually not treating you well. And, I remember interviewing Bruce Dickinson on my show years and years ago, and he said he's going to keep making music and keep doing what he's doing until he drops dead. And, do you plan on, doing the same thing for yourself?
Yes. Yeah, I want to try. Yeah. And even a woman, or being a woman. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I want to do it, till the day I die, and maybe die on stage, just like, sing All We Are, and then, see you hopefully on the other side. And I'd love to do it as long as I can, and so far I feel in good shape, so I'm in better shape than when I was 18, and I must say, headbanging and jumping on stage, that's the best workout, and it keeps your body in good shape, your soul young, your heart happy, and I think that's, to me, music in general is like, oh man, that's magic, and it doesn't matter what kind of music it is, as long as people, get something out of it, and sometimes fans, they tell me, man, because of this particular song, I could really live through a divorce, or somebody, leaving me, or somebody dying. I think music has a very, almost a healing power too, and it depends, in which situation you are.
Well, you mentioned Dio before, and the reason I'm going to bring this up is because, number one, I've interviewed so many musicians. I interviewed, Jens Johansson and Jeff Tate not too long ago. And, they had a lot of great things to say about Ronnie James Dio. And, Jeff Tate worked with him, or was helped by Dio out, obviously, in the early years of Queensryche. And then, at the same time, Jens Johansson played on the Lock Up of the Wolves album and was in the band for about a year with Dio. And, what are your thoughts about him? And what are some of your memories about working with Dio? And what kind of person was he? And how did you like working with him?
We could support Ronnie James Dio was in 87, and it was actually, man, such a great time, because it was like, the biggest time of metal in the 80s, and it was fantastic, and we got along really, really great, but I couldn't speak English that well, so, I was like, have a great show, and you did great, and something like this. And then actually in 2000, we did a long tour in America, and it was so awesome, because it was just the time when grunge was on the way out again, which was, for every metal band, was a very tough time, the 90s. And actually, it was like, 1999, I felt metal is coming back. And then in 2000, we had this long tour, and actually we started in San Francisco, and we ended the tour in Florida. We had three gigs, and I watched every show of the Dio show, and I always enjoyed it so much. So in Florida, suddenly, Ronnie was leaving the stage, and then I thought, wow, where is he going? Everybody was thinking, where is he going? And then my band, they were actually watching the shows with me, they tapped me on the shoulder and said, Doro, you know what's coming up? And I said, no. And I said, you're up. And I said, oh, no. And then sure enough, Ronnie came there with the second microphone. He said, hey, Doro, come up, let's sing all the encores together. And I thought, oh, and I said, hey, Ronnie, I don't know exactly the lyrics. He said, doesn't matter, let's just have fun. So I hopped on stage, and then we sang all the encores together, and arm in arm, and I tell you, I was the happiest baby. I have some photos of it. I, you know, my smile is from ear to ear. It's so unbelievable. And he was so sweet, and, you know, and he was always saying so many nice, sweet things. And I think he had a heart of gold. He was so, you know, special in talent, in his voice, and in his music. But as a person, he was the sweetest man I've ever met in this world. And, yeah, and I think it's the heaviest loss. And I'm so grateful that I had the chance to, you know, talk to him or to support, you know, Dio. And I wrote a song on this new album. It's called Hero, to give thanks and respect and honor to Ronnie. And, yeah, but he was the sweetest guy. And so funny. He was so funny as hell. You know, he cracked jokes. It's like, it was unbelievable. And, yeah.
Obviously, you've been touring quite a bit and still doing very well. You're very successful. You guys are playing some pretty packed venues, and right now the music business is not doing so well, even with live shows, but you still manage to get people to come to your shows, and why do you think people are coming to the shows still when you guys play out?
I must say it's fan base. It's so strong, even when times weren't so good, like, for example, in the grunge times, the fans were still there. They were always so supporting and supportive, so we could always still do it. And, yeah, like I said before, the fans, that is my life. And somehow, I guess the fans, they know that too, and then it goes vice versa. So I always feel inspired by the fans. I hope that I can inspire them, and then, you know, it, yeah, and then full force ahead. I think, yeah, that's actually, for me, that was always the most important thing. And when I felt that, you know, metal was not doing so well in the 90s, then I thought, oh God, if it will ever come back, I will definitely hold on to it much, much harder, and, you know, and I will appreciate it much, much more. Yeah, and then when metal were coming back, I think now the last 12 years are pretty good. It's like, I think everybody feels the same, so we will never let it go, and I will always try harder and try my best, and, you know, and when it's tough, then, you know, just like, you know, then work harder and do more, and, you know, and there's the saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I definitely feel that way. You know, sometimes when you get knocked out, you know, after getting knocked out a couple of times, you know, you somehow you toughen up, and then, you know, and, you know, and you can go, you know, to lengths you would probably have not been able to do that before. So it's like, yeah, it's always like, you know, when you fight hard, then, you know, somehow you live and learn, and, yeah. And I definitely know, you know, that I feel that is the most important thing for me, to me. And, yeah, and I think the fans know that too, so, yeah.
Well, I remember back being in Germany. I remember going, every time I would go to Germany, I would open up a Metal Hammer magazine or some metal mag, and they would always have like different musicians with their thoughts and ratings on different heavy metal albums that had come out at the time. And I would always see you in there talking about how much you like this band's album or that band's album. And I have to ask you, you know, because you seem like you're a fan just like everybody else is of this music. But I have to ask, and I want to ask, you know, what bands are you listening to right now? Anything that you're listening to at the moment?
Yeah, you're totally right. I'm a total fan, like, and I still love all the bands I loved in the 80s. I still love Motorhead, Kiss, Wasp, Metallica, Megadeth. I still have that stuff in my iPod, and I love Rammstein. I think they're very unique. They have such a great show, and special. And and I love the new Accept album, and of course Judas Priest and all like the great old 80s bands, Saxon, and you know, I must say, you know, I still love what was good back then. I still think it's great in this day and age, and yeah, and some great new bands, like I love Volbeat or Billy Talent or In Flames or Children of Bodom or Arch Enemy, and yeah, I think they're great new bands out there too, and yeah.
And you also come from Germany, though, man. I mean, what about some German bands? You obviously, there's so many really great metal bands that have come out of that of your home country. And I have to ask you, what German heavy metal bands are you really, really big fan of and that you listen to on a regular basis?
Yeah, actually, the arch enemy, Angela, the singer, she's actually from Cologne, from Germany. I know the rest is from Scandinavia. And there is another German band. They're very different, but I think great. They call it Saltatio Mortis. Saltatio Mortis, we did actually a duet together. It was called Salome. And they do like a little bit different style of metal. I guess you call it Pagan metal or pagan metal or middle age metal, and I love them a lot. And then a thrash metal band, Tankard, I love them, or Sodom or Destruction. And when I grew up, actually, when I went to school, I loved the Scorpions, and I didn't even know that they were from Germany. They were like so huge back then. And then later on, when I actually moved to America, then I found out, yeah, man, that's, you know, your German brothers. And I thought, oh, really? And yeah, and I just played with Uli John Roth. We played together a festival a couple of days ago. I think he's one of the most amazing guitar players, or Michael Schenker. And there are lots of, and Grave Digger, Halloween. And and actually, I grew up, except there was my first band I've ever seen. They opened up for Judas Priest, I think it was in 1980. I thought, wow, you know. And of course, I love the new lineup of Accept, and I love Udo Dirkschneider with UDO. We toured and played together many times, so, yeah.
Dora, for my last question for you, and I'll tell you what, it's been great talking to you. It's been a very fun, very positive conversation, and it's always great to have you on the show because you're so full of positivity, I guess you could say. And it's been a lot of fun, and the new album is very good, and I just wanted to let you know that. And for the very last question for you, as I always end off all of my interviews, you know, what are some of your last words to all the fans that are going to be listening to this interview when I air it on my show, and then, of course, when I stream it on the website?
Yes, Tony, I want to thank you for the kind words before. That's so awesome. Thank you for supporting metal. And I want to tell fans, I love it more than anything else in this world. This will never, ever change. I will always give my best, always start with 150%. And I hope they will enjoy the new songs of the new record. And I hope we will all see each other on tour in February, or maybe 70,000 tons of metal. And I wish everybody a great time. All the best. Keep metal alive. And rock on, guys. And more power to you. And I hope I see you very soon.